This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
When the Prophet ﷺ is giving spiritual guidance, religious advice, the distinction between right and wrong, that is never based on what? Hawa.
When najmi idha hawa, ma dhanna sahibukum wa ma ghawa.
Make the most of this series by downloading our free workbook for a guided contemplation of this powerful surah.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyid al-Anbiya'i wal-Mursaleen wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'een. Amma ba'd, fa'a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim wa ma yantiqu anil hawa. Allah is now going to speak to us about a claim about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a negation. There are three negations so far. Ma dhalla sahibukum, ma ghawa, wa ma yantiqu anil hawa. There are concepts that Mufassirun talk about that sound really technical and difficult. My job is to try to make that stuff easy for you. This is going to be one of those concepts, but it's an important one. It happens in the Quran a lot. So I'll run you through it briefly. There are three kinds of speech. There's different ways of describing speech, but in Balagha, one way in Ilm al-Ma'ani you can do it is there's three kinds of speech. Speech to a neutral person, speech to a doubtful person, and speech to an opponent. Neutral, doubtful, and opponent. Kalam ibtida'i, kalam talabi, khitab ibtida'i, khitab talabi, and khitab inkari. That's the balaghi terms, but who cares? What did I say? What are the three kinds of speech? Neutral, doubtful, opponent. Okay, so what does this mean? If I say, you and I are taking a walk, and I say, the weather's nice today. You're not an opponent. I didn't have to do any extra layers in my speech because you're like, yeah, it's nice. Because you're neutral. Okay? Hey, so what you doing nowadays? Nothing. Okay, neutral speech. There was no intensity in the speech. It's normal level. Then there is doubtful. Hey, is the class starting today? No, the class is starting tomorrow. No, is it starting today or tomorrow? If somebody does that, what are they? Doubtful. And when they're doubtful, you got to add a little something to get rid of their doubt. So you say, no, it's definitely starting today. I added what word? Definitely. So you added one extra stressor, one extra emphasis. So for neutral speech, you need no emphasis. For doubtful speech, you need one emphasis. Somebody says, the class is not starting today. It's starting 3 days from now. And you say, listen, stupid. Wallahi, I'm telling you, the class is starting today. What did you do? You said stupid to stress the point. You said wallahi, because you committed a sin and then you remembered Allah. And then you added definitely, and you slammed your hand. You needed more than one stressor. When do you need more than one stressor? When you are talking to someone who disapproves or rejects they're an opponent now. They don't agree with what you're saying. You understand this? This is the basic, the building blocks of Balagha studies. When you're reading the Quran, is there zero emphasis? Is there one emphasis? Or is there more than one emphasis? And that might tell you, is Allah talking to a neutral audience or a doubtful audience or an opposing audience? But this is the building blocks. Then it gets more complicated because if you're super good at this, you might be talking to somebody who's opposing you, but you're talking as if they're neutral. Like somebody says, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to destroy you. And you're like, you're not. And you're totally calm. You know what that is? You are so confident that they have nothing that you don't even have to like respond to the opponent as an opponent. You're responding to them as if they are as much a non-threat as a neutral one. You understand? So you could mix and match sometimes for special reasons. But this basic dichotomy of neutral, doubtful, and opponent is very helpful. And it's a big part of the study of the Quran. Because through it, we get a lot of meaning of how is Allah communicating. Remember, the same strands are there, right? The same concepts are being presented. But how are they being presented? Who are they being presented to? This is important. The reason I brought that up is the word ma and the oath in the beginning are double stress. Allah is talking to opponents. From the style of the speech, it's clear that Allah is talking to who? Opponents who are saying he is lost. He has an agenda. He's got dalal, he's got ghawaya, or he's got ghay. That's who they're claiming him to be. And he's responding with an oath, which is already a stress. One najmi idha hawa, then ma dalla sahibukum, wa ma ghawa. That's the two ma there, right? And it's not lam yadilla sahibukum wa lam yaghwi. You know, so because lam is not extra stress, but ma is. And then wa ma yantiqu anil hawa. Now, and the common translation of this is, he does not speak from desire. The common translation is what? He does not speak from desire. We're going to tear that apart. We're going to go a lot deeper than that in order to understand this. Yantiqu, first of all, is used for eloquent speech, well put together speech. It comes from the secondary meaning. It is tightening something or gathering something together, gathering your thoughts together, gathering words together. Every word is gathering letters together. But when you coherently gather your thoughts and words and ideas together, then it becomes nutq, coherent speech. So that's the word nutq. This is a side note about it. And he doesn't speak, and he never says anything based on what we said desire so far. But we'll dig into desire later. One more beautiful iltifat. This is Imam Fakhruddin al-Razi. We love Razi in our team, rahimahullah. So I'm just going to read this to you and I'll translate it because he just deserves it. So ma dalla, this, what he's saying is, dalla is past tense. Wa ma ghawa is also past tense. But he didn't say wa ma nataqa anil hawa. He says, وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ. For those of you who know even a little bit of Arabic, that's مُضَارِع, isn't it? So ماضي, ماضي, ثم المضارع. فالالتفات بين الماضي, من الماضي إلى المضارع. He switched from the past tense to the present tense. Why did he do it? وَصِيغَةُ الْمُسْتَقْبَلِ فِي قَوْلِهِ وَمَا يَنْطِقُ فِي غَايَةِ الْحُسْنِ. He says, and using the future tense and the present future tense, all of a sudden, is extremely beautiful here. أي ما ضل حين اعتزلكم وما تعبدون في صغره. And because he's saying, he wasn't even lost when he was a kid. He wasn't even lost when he was small and you were worshiping all those idols. He's never been lost. His entire life has never been, not even after becoming a prophet, he's never actually been misguided. And he's never been on the wrong path. ما ضل صاحبكم وما غوى حين اختلى بنفسه ورأى منامه ما رأى. And so at this time, and the time that he saw the angel and the revelation came, even then he wasn't lost. And وما ينطق عن الهوى الآن حيث أرسل إليكم وجعل رسولا شاهدا عليكم. And even now when he's speaking and he's been sent as a prophet to you, as a witness over you, even now he is not lost. And so this is from then to now, as if Allah is saying his past is proof of the truthfulness of his present, right? The character of the Prophet ﷺ speaks for itself. His track record speaks for itself. And that's the evidence that's being presented. فَلَمْ يَكُنْ أَوَّلًا ضَلًّا وَلَا غَاوِيًا وَصَارَ الْآنْ مُنْقِذًا مِنَ الضَّلَالَ وَمُرْشِدًا وَهَادِيًا. He was never lost anyway, and now more than not being lost, he's a guide and protected from misguidance and guiding others towards the right way. So that's just from the present tense usage of the word. Then there's an interesting discussion among the scholars about this ayah. Does this refer to the Quran, or is this talking about the Quran and the Sunnah? Because it says he doesn't speak from desire. Right, he isn't, and the next ayah is going to say it's nothing but revelation. That's all it is. It's revelation. So does that mean it's only revelation when the Prophet ﷺ is reciting the Quran, or everything the Prophet says is revelation, or is the answer even something else? The first thing, we're going to look at the early commentary. So this is from At-Tabari. وَمَا يَنْتِقُ مُحَمَّدٌ بِهَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَنْ هَوَاهُ. He's saying, and the ayah is saying, that Muhammad does not speak this Quran from his own feelings. مَا هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ يُحِيهِ إِلَيْهِ. The Quran is nothing but revelation from Allah that he's giving to him. So Tabari's opinion is, what's this ayah talking about? The Quran. This ayah is talking about the Quran specifically. قَتَادَ, عَنْ قَتَادَ. There's a عَيْن missing. أي ما ينطق عن هواه. قال يوحي الله تبارك وتعالى إلى جبريل ويوحي جبريل إلى محمد وعنى بقوله وما ينطق عن الهوى بالهوى. That's a separate issue. He's saying here he doesn't speak from his own feelings. Allah gives to Jibril, Jibril gives to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says what Allah tells him to say. So it's not coming from him. That's the point. So again, the indication seems to be they're thinking this is talking about what? The Quran. Okay. Then we get to Ibn Ashur, rahimahullah, more contemporary scholar, the author of At-Tahrir wa At-Tanwir. What does he have to say? وَنَفْيُ النُطْقِ عَنْ هَوَنْ يَقْتَضِي نَفْيَ جِنْسِ مَا يَنْطِقُ بِهِ عَنِ الْإِتِّصَافِ بِالصُّدُورِ عَنْ هَوَنْ سِوَاءٌ كَانُ الْقُرْآنِ أَوْ غَيْرُهُ مِنَ الْإِرْشَادِ النَّبَوِي. This is Allah denying any involvement of hawa. We haven't defined hawa yet. Any involvement of what they translate as desire. There's no involvement of it in the Quran or anything else in which the Prophet ﷺ is guiding people. But he adds a clause, guiding people. So I want you to understand this properly. We have to distinguish between the role of the Quran and the role of the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. I know we use the phrase Quran and Sunnah all the time, but this is an intricate issue that I want you to understand some things about it at least. There are instances in the life of the Prophet ﷺ where he took a decision when no revelation came. He just made a decision. He decided to free captives in Badr. Right? We freed them. Then revelation came. Why did you free them? They should have been executed. The question is, Allah could have revealed before to execute them. Allah chose not to reveal it. And then he let them go. And then he revealed it. Right? What's the point of doing that? The point of doing that is to show that the Prophet ﷺ makes his own decisions sometimes. And the only one that has the right to correct him is who? Is Allah. Because even though he's the Prophet, he's still at the end of the day, Abd of Allah. So Allah will do that. At Tabuk, you know, when Mecca was conquered and we were about to engage with the Roman Empire, some hypocrites came to the Prophet and said, we can't go to battle. It's too much fitna for me. You know, I'm just going to end up getting married on the way. So I can't do it. Can I not go to battle? Because, you know, too many women are interested in marrying me and I'm just not going to make for a good warrior. I'm a lover, not a fighter, basically, is what he said. And the Prophet ﷺ said, stay home. And if I was the commander of an army, I would ask the guy to stay home too, because that's clearly a liability on the battlefield. You know, why can't we all just love each other? Like, you know, that's... So it's a good military decision to keep that guy at home. He's going to disrupt. He's going to cost lives on the battlefield. Allah afterwards revealed, "Afallahu anka lima adhinta lahum." May Allah forgive you. Why did you give him permission? Right? Now, in those moments, did the Prophet ﷺ give him permission based on revelation or based on his own decision? It's clear he made his own decision. Right? He made his own decision. Now, there's other instances. You have the Prophet ﷺ asking the Sahaba to set up their camp, the military camp at Uhud. He picked a place. And the Sahaba said, is this from revelation or is this your opinion? The Sahaba asked this question, which means the Sahaba are very clear that they also know that sometimes the Prophet ﷺ is expressing his own opinion, other times it is revelation. And then he said, no, this is my opinion. And they said, you know, if this is your opinion, then we dare disagree. We think this is a better position. That happened. The Prophet ﷺ came from Mecca, described famously as Wadin Ghayri Dhi Zar', a valley that has no vegetation. He comes to Medina, people are growing dates, right? So he sees some, you know, date growing practice. That's a little strange to him. He asks the planters, why do you do that? They say, so we get a good crop. He says, I don't see the point in doing that. They thought this is revelation from Allah. They changed their farming practice. There was no crop that year. And they said, Ya Rasulullah, you told us this. And he said, Antum a'lamu bi umuri dunyakum. You know your worlds better. I was just saying that. Like, he wasn't giving them revelation. So the distinction of Ibn Ashur here is really valuable. Why is it valuable? He's saying when the Prophet ﷺ is giving spiritual guidance, religious advice, the distinction between right and wrong, that is never based on what? Hawa. That is not based on hawa. That's not based on empty feeling. But then hawa is also an interesting, deeper meaning of the word hawa that I want you to know. Al-hawa is actually emptiness. Between any empty space is called hawa. A coward is also called al-hawa, jaban. لِأَنَّهُ لَا قَلْبَ لَهُ فَكَأَنَّهُ فَارِغٌ. It's as if the guy has no heart. It's empty inside the heart. There's no courage inside his heart. So he's called a coward, a hawa. A bottomless void. Like one of the names of hell is hawiya, right? فَأُمُّهُ hawiya. Because it keeps going and going and going. It's bottomless. That's فَأُمُّهُ hawiya. And falling to a lower place is also hawa. And from it, we get the meaning of love, actually. I don't like the translation desire for hawa. The closer meaning is actually love. It's actually love. But it's different from hub. So what's the difference between hub and hawa? Hub is used in the Quran in good ways, positive ways. Positive and negative. But you have, in kuntum tuhibbuna Allah, fattabi'uni yuhibbukum Allah. If you love Allah, if you love me, follow me and Allah will love you. If you love Allah, right? So love is used in great ways in the Quran, the word hub. But the word hawa is actually used for lower loves, animal loves, empty loves, whims, things you love that don't really have substance and meaning. Like, for example, I love this TikToker. That's hawa. I love that song. Oh my God, that's hawa. I love Messi. That's hawa. Okay. There's loves we have that don't have substance. They're empty within. Those are called hawa. They're whimsical. They're not substantive. There's no depth to them. The Prophet is being, what is being said about the Prophet ﷺ is he doesn't let temporary feelings, moods, appetites, he doesn't ever make a decision based on them. He doesn't do this at all. And he's not doing this right now. مَيَنْتِقُ in ma'ani and nahu could also mean, as we speak right now, this is not his feelings talking. Because the previous ayah was what? Your sahib is not lost. He's not corrupted. No, this is not him defending himself. This is not him, oh, he feels bad that you call him these things, so he's defending himself. This is not coming from him. This is coming from who? It's coming from Allah, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ. Because if somebody insults you and you decide to defend yourself, that doesn't come from someone else, that comes from you. But now Allah is saying, no, even that is not coming from him. He's not defending himself. I'm defending him. It's very beautiful inside the meanings of وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ. By the way, hawa is a kind of love that overtakes a person and empties them of all other feelings. Afterwards, I'll tell you, take from you, inshallah. Now, this is Imam Fakhruddin al-Razi again talking about hawa. He says, وَأَحْسَنُ مَا يُقَالْ فِي تَفْسِيرِ الْهَوَىٰ أَنَّهَا الْمَحَبَّةِ لَكِنْ مِنَ النَّفْسِ يُقَالْ هَوِيْتُهُ بِمَعْنَى أَحْبَبْتُهُ لَكِنَّ الْحُرُوفَ الَّتِي هَوَىٰ تَدُلُّ عَلَى الدُّنُو وَالنُّزُولِ وَالسُّقُوطِ مِنْهُ. He's saying, yes, hawa means love, but its secondary meanings have to do with falling and being low. So it's loving lower things, lesser things. And when someone loves things that are the kind of love they have is hawa, it makes them a lowly person. And the Prophet ﷺ is not a lowly person. And so that's not what is associated with him. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Ibn Ashur on the same word. مَيْلُ النَّفْسِ إِلَى مَا تُحِبُّهُ أَوْ تُحِبُّ أَنْ تَفْعَلَهُ دُونَ أَنْ يَقْتَضِيَهُ الْعَقْلُ السَّلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ. This is really important. He says, hawa means you love something and it's irrational. Like you can't explain a good reason and you're actually denying common sense to love it. Stupid love is hawa. But I love it. Why? I don't know. I just do. That's hawa. I can't explain it. That's because it's hawa. Oh, that's these voices, I work on them. This is part of my preparation for the lecture. So the idea of hawa is the Prophet ﷺ is not, he never desires something without it having meaning. Of course, he desired to marry Ummahatul Mu'mineen, but it was never based on something empty. There was always a purpose behind things that he loves. This is a really interesting statement about our Prophet ﷺ. And we talk so much about being like the Prophet ﷺ and taking inspiration from him. maybe we should take inspiration on curbing hawa and checking in myself. I need to check in myself. How many hawa departments have I opened inside my heart? Like things that I'm loving and I'm obsessed with that have really no substance. And I have no logical explanation except I like it. That's it. And in fact, it's even harmful. It's even harmful. And that's the question you and I have to ask ourselves.
Hey guys, you just watched a small clip of me explaining the Quran in depth as part of the Deeper Look series. Studying the Quran in depth can seem like a really intimidating thing that's only meant for scholars. Our job at Bayyinah is to make deeper study of the Quran accessible and easy for all of you. So take us up on that challenge. Join us for this study, the Deeper Look of the Quran, for this surah and many other surahs on bayyinatv.com under the Deeper Look section.